You're listening to the Greater Long Beach Podcast, where our focus is helping people to connect to God, change, and thrive in life.
Amen. Well, we're a church without walls. You're in the sermon series right here. And so if my Spanish comes out at some point, just, you know, forgive me. We'll just move on, okay? Because I haven't preached in English in about 2 years, I think. So a little rusty, perhaps. But a church without walls. I love that. I love that concept. You know, I hear that as to me, we want to make sure that the world sees what's going on in the church. But I think also that the church is able to see what's going on in the world. Sometimes the world has a lot to teach the church. But also, we want to be a church that's seeking the activities of God throughout the world. What is God up to in our community? What is God up to in our neighborhoods? What is God up to in the neighboring countries? What is God doing? I think we're going to discover a little bit here of what God tends to do with disciples, with the church and communities around it here in Acts chapter 16. Before we move on, I do want to say, as a loyal El Tri fan for the World Cup, another special thank you to the Korea nation there for granting us passage there into a free game with Brazil. It did not go as we wanted, but it kind of went as expected. So we'll leave it at that. I did want to say thank you. Last week at the regional, I got to share briefly about being able to visit my family after a 17-year separation. I came here when I was 9 years old and converted 9 years later. So I'm a dreamer, right? I've been qualified for DACA, and I have all this story and testimony that I've shared in the past. But I do want to say a special thank you, and I know they may not be here today, but Brian Pimel and Joe Eads have been praying for me specifically almost every morning for my immigration case for over a decade. And part of the miracle of being able to have the permission to be able to travel and visit my family, and now just to step away from being a resident, is because of Brian and Joe's prayers for me. And so I just want to thank you guys, and obviously I am grateful. There's Joe. Amen. Hello, Joe. So you're right under the lights. I just saw your hand there. Being able to visit my family in Mexico and visit the church, you get to see what is God doing in this country? What is God doing in this city? What is God doing internationally? What is God doing in my life that I'm able to travel now? What does God want to do? Me, knowing the American culture, knowing the Mexican culture, being bilingual, what does God want to do? Well, God is continuing to build a church without walls. Amen? Let's get to it here. Acts chapter 16. Your sermon series here is out of the Gospel of Luke. So this will be the last introduction of the Gospel of Luke. As a 17-year-old Christian, I just learned how to read the Gospels for the first time. Started taking my master's program for missional leadership, and we took a class on Jesus and the Gospels. And one of the aha moments for me during that class was learning to read the Gospels the way they were written, the way they were intended. You see, for 17 years, I've been trying to harmonize all the Gospels. How do they fit together? Jesus did this in Mark, but what does it mean when he did it over here in John? And then I'm trying to harmonize all of them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you were to ask me what Jesus did, I'll tell you, yeah, he did that. But yeah, I mean, with what gospel did he do that? I'd be like, I don't know. was for. And so they were written, intended to be written, to be read, to be learned on their own, not necessarily harmonized. Why? Because there's a Jesus in Mark that God wants us to learn. There's a Jesus in John. There's a Jesus in Matthew. There's a Jesus in Luke. And if you harmonize them, we can miss out on the message of that gospel. Because it's all connected. Right? We wouldn't try to harmonize the Marvel Universe with Star Wars. That cannot be. Right? And so they stand on their own. They make sense on their own. And in some ways, that's how God intended the gospel to be written. So what is the gospel of Luke all about? One of the many themes is social justice. The gospel of Luke honors and highlights those that are socially marginalized. The gospel of Luke is so radical for its time. It's the only written account that begins with women being the protagonist. For its time, it's absolutely radical. It's madness for any written account to begin with women being the protagonist. Matthew introduces Joseph. Luke introduces Mary and Elizabeth. The Samaritan woman is found there. The poor widow. Luke 18. And so all throughout Luke, God is telling us how we should treat those who are marginalized. God is telling us that the church needs to be aware of how people are being treated outside, so we can have a heart for them. That they matter and that they belong with God also. Amen? Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, he's told that they're going to have a child. Zechariah does not believe. Elizabeth believes right away. Women's faith is highlighted in the Gospel of Luke. When Jesus raises from the dead, you know who faithfully goes to the tomb? Women. You know who doesn't believe once they hear that Jesus risen from the dead? The men. So from beginning to end, the Gospel of Luke is highlighting the faith, the value of women. Isn't that awesome? It's not putting down the men, it's highlighting the women. We need a church without walls, that the world can learn the value of women from the church. Amen? Amen. We're in Acts. The author of the Gospel of Luke, also wrote the book of Acts. And so this theme of women in faith continues. As a son of a single mom, I love the fact that women are highlighted. Amen? The Bible. Because I would not be the man who I am if it was not for women in my life. My grandma, my mom, and of course, my wife. Women of faith have impacted me, have impacted you. And women, we need your faith. Amen? Amen? We need you to continue to grow. We need you to continue to dig in the scriptures. And that you find your identity in God and from God. That's very important. Luke 16, verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Talking about Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on a journey, so he circumcised him because the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that he was the father of a Greek. You see, we begin right here already highlighting the faith of Timothy's mom. We don't know if she's a widow. We know she's a believer, but we know her husband is not. So is she a widow? Did he divorce her because she became a disciple? Did he pass and die? We don't know. Is she a single mom? We don't know. But what we do know is she was at a disadvantage because her husband was not a believer and she was. And yet she was able to raise this son, Timothy. And everyone spoke well of him. It doesn't say his dad spoke well of him. It says others spoke well of him. That this man was able to grow in a community of faith. And though his father maybe was not engaged in his life, he was fathered by the community of faith. And that single mom or that believing wife without a believing husband was helped and supported by the community of faith. We see another social theme right here. You with me?
Yeah.
As they traveled from town to town, they delivered decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number. In Acts 15, they run into some social challenges, some culture challenges. And what do? They have this huge gathering. They say, what are we going to do about the Gentile disciples? How much of, should we expect of them to follow the law or not? And so they have this huge gathering, and basically what they're trying to do is, let's find out what God is doing so that we can line up with what God is doing. And they were able to line up with what God was doing. You're a healthy church when you're quickly able to line up with what God is doing. You're a mature disciple when you're quickly able to line up with what God is doing. And sometimes God does a lot of the same. Also, God does a lot of new. And the closer we are to God, we're able to participate in those new activities of God. Amen? And so they got together, they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let the other churches know. And so there's this international connection here. And we are so grateful to be part of an international church. Amen? Amen. We are celebrating the fact that this region not only is connected, part of an international movement, but we are a generous region that supports Mexico, the Central America, and the Middle East churches. And it's so good, it's so healthy for us to be part of an international connection. And when the local church heard about international things, it says there in verse 4, that verse 5, that the churches were strengthened in the faith. Because sometimes you can get caught up into your own little world. And you need to know, what is God doing internationally? And when you find out what God is doing in other regions of the world, your faith is strengthened. And when the faith is strengthened, they grow in numbers, not the other way around. In verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. What? When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed through Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come! Come over to Macedonia and help us! After Paul had seen the vision, we, because Luke wrote this, so now he's engaged, he's an eyewitness from now on in verse 16, he's part of this mission team, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So a lot of questions right here. The Spirit of God prevented them from preaching the gospel in certain areas. What's the message this morning? Don't preach the gospel. No, of course not. You're like, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Why did God prevent this mission field, this group of disciples who want to do great things for God? You get all pumped up. You tell your friend. You post it on Facebook so it's official. You know, you just try and go for it and just dead end. Nothing happens. Maybe sometimes God prevents us from doing things. Why? Because it's not about our vision. It's not about our adventure. It's not about our faith. It's not about our activity. It's about God's vision. It's about God's activity. It's about God's plan. And when God says no somewhere, you just stay there and you get really discouraged. But you don't move on to where God wants you to go. You may stay there for years. Don't stay there for years. Your vision. Paul here sees this man and says, come help us! You know, can you imagine the conversation that morning? As Paul wakes up and the other guys wake up, hey guys, by the way, last night I had a vision. And there was this man from Macedonia who said, come help us. We weren't planning to go there. We don't have the funds to go there or the meals. But I think we should go there. If you're in the audience, how do you feel about that? Some of them are planners. That makes a struggle right there. Wait, what? That wasn't the plan. Some of us are still dwelling. Why couldn't we get into the province of Asia? What's God doing? What's wrong with my family? There's all kinds of feelings probably there, right?
Yeah.
But what do? They just get up and they just go. How quick are you? You just get up. And you go. Some of us are still dwelling on defeats from years ago. Get up. There's a new vision. God is still God. God is doing new things. He's doing shocking and surprising things. He says no in surprising ways, and he says yes in new and innovative ways. God is a God of mission. God is still in mission. Therefore, the church, us, we should still be in participating in his mission. What's the church's mission? God's mission! But a church without walls is able to see what is the activity of God in greater moments. What is the activity of God in Cerritos? What is the activity of God in the neighborhood? What is the activity of God in Hawaiian Gardens down the street where I grew up? How many cities has God given you the charge to reach out to? What is God doing around you, Greater Long Beach? Be quick to see his vision. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 11 from Giraffe. We put up a seat. They're going for it. And sailed straight to Samothrace. And the next day they went to Neapolis. From there they traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And there we stayed several days. Like, what do you do once you're there? You're like, so do we wait for this man who's going to come? Where does he live? Do we find him? Does he find us? What do we do? A lot of questions, right? Sometimes it's also good not to know where the answers are. It keeps you seeking and waiting on God, right? And God's about to surprise you. Verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to who? To the women who were gathered there. Why were the women gathered there? They were there to pray. These are Jewish women praying outside of the city. Why? Because there's no synagogue in this city. Why is there no synagogue in this city? Well, they had this rule where you needed 10 men to start a synagogue. So there wasn't 10 Jewish men there. Well, it's really far away. This is like Europe area. For the first time they're in Europe. Do you really think there was a Jewish man there? I had wasn't Jewish men that were organized enough to start a synagogue. So what are the women going to do? Going to wait for the men? I can do that here, right? I can do this now, maybe. And so, what do the women do? They start the prayer by the river. And so Paul's like, there's no synagogue here. Let's go find a place for prayer. They're sitting there. And so all these women are around praying around them. They're probably the only men there. This is a weird social interaction right here. And God is about to surprise them. So they sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there. Verse 14, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. Maybe I'm not saying that incorrectly. Named Lydia. Thyatira. Named Lydia. A dealer of purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to stay at her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You know, originally they set off in Acts 15 to go present all these views and how the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians were going to be interacting. God interrupted them. He said, don't go there. Get their attention. They're all panicking and struggling. And God said, I'm going to give you this vision. Give them the vision. Go somewhere where you've never gone before in Europe. Now they're like, there's no synagogue here. Now we're talking to women. And now this woman here, Lydia, is responding to the message. Lydia is not Jewish. She's a Gentile who seeks God and fellowships with the Jewish women of faith. The Jewish women of faith did not respond to Paul's message, but the Gentile woman responded to Paul's message. Remember the theme of Luke, the Gospel of Luke and Acts? Isn't that awesome? And so who is Lydia? Lydia is the first European convert. So who is the first European convert? A woman. Amen to that. That's awesome. She's also a single woman. She's also the leader of her household. It doesn't mention her husband. It should have. It didn't. She's likely single. And she's the leader of that household. She reaches out to her household. Maybe it was her kids, a single mom, maybe it was just her servants or relatives. She's wealthy. Even though she could have done all whatever she wants with that wealth, she decided to seek God. Because she realizes at some point, you know what? This is an empty life. I want a real life. I want a connection with God. And so she's seeking God. And so what does God do? He sends this group of men who were willing to do great things for God all the way across the sea into an island, from the island into Europe. Stay there for days. Frustrates these men so that they can go down to the river and they can reach out to this woman who's been seeking God. God knows how long. That's God! When we read the Bible, we gotta see God in the Bible. And what is God doing so that our biblical imagination, our biblical vision can expand so we can see that these are the things that God does. So what is God doing now? And sometimes we can read the Bible to find yourself. And sometimes we can read scriptures that soothe you. That's good. But if you live there, you're going to miss out on God. What if we read the Bible only to discover more about God? More about discovering about God and less about thinking about you can see yourself as the project of your life. And you're the protagonist of your life. That hurts you if you're a believer. Because the protagonist of our life cannot be us. God is the protagonist of our life. He's the main character. Our story is part of His story. Not He's part of our story. There's a huge difference. Which way do you think? Is God part of your story, or are you part of God's story? That determines so much. Lydia, we can see that she saw herself as part of something bigger, seeking something greater, seeking the true God. When her wealth, having access to all kinds of different things, or studies or religions, she said, this one sounds way more genuine. This one seems way more genuine. I want to be here. But even then, it was incomplete. And even though she was a worshiper of God, she wasn't a saved disciple. She had an incomplete gospel. Even though she was a worshiper of God, can we be okay with that? That you can worship God and not be saved yet? That's who she was. She was worshiping God, but she had not received the complete gospel. Even though she was a worshiper, it was when she received the full gospel that she was able to be saved. And now participate in the salvation mission of God. What else? Is this going to work here? So far, I don't want to even move my slides, right? This was out of our sermon series. You hailed it. Dang. Oh, can we go to the next one? There it is. Lydia, International Bridge. Let's go to the next slide. Am I controlling you? Okay, so there's Paul, right? There's his missionary journey. That blob of green right there is where they couldn't get in. God says, for some reason, he doesn't tell us, but they could not preach the gospel there. And so they had to go. You see Philippi there up at the top, other side of the island. There's Philippi. That's where they had landed, right? That's where they are. So, where is Lydia from? Thyatira. Where's that at? Whoa! She's from the place, the area where they could not get in to preach. And so in one move, God reaches the gospel in Europe and converts an immigrant woman who's from the region where they wanted to preach but couldn't get in. And so Lydia is a Gentile, a woman, a single woman, an immigrant, a business owner, wealthy. Wow. You know, there's something to be said about the gratitude of an immigrant. And everyone here knows the gratitude of an immigrant. Think about that person in your life who migrated to this country maybe years ago or recently, or who knows, maybe it was you. Think about the gratitude you feel, or they felt, or they feel to be here. The opportunities that they find in this country. Lydia was a grateful convert. Amen? Does this city sound familiar? Thyatira. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. In Revelation 2, there's mention of seven churches. One of those churches is where? To the angel of the church in Thyatira. What? Even though they couldn't get in to preach the gospel there, years later, when Revelation is written, there's a church there now! And sure, They were struggling by this point, but they're still the church. You know what I'm saying? They're getting direction from God to repent. So do you think Lydia had a dream for her people? Do you think Lydia said, you know what? I'm so grateful for what I know. Do we have a church where I'm from? I know I'm like busy here planting the Philippi church now. It just started in my household. And the Philippians, we know God, the epistle of Philippians and all the great things that happened there. But I want to believe, I want to imagine that she had an international vision for her people back home. Her likely being bilingual, she had a vision that maybe she funded the planting. Maybe she moved there herself. I don't know. But I want to imagine that she played a part in that. Why? Because she's part of a church without walls. God plants bridges, not walls. In Matthew 16, Jesus says about his church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to stand. It doesn't mean that the wall, that the church would build walls. It means that the church knocked down walls. That's what Matthew 16 is talking about. And so what do we learn about Lydia? She's a fuente internacional. She's a fuente internacional. She's an international bridge. A church without walls needs to be a church that is connected internationally. That is connected locally. Amen? That we are aware of what God is doing. It's a church that quickly recovers when it's disillusioned. It's a maturity to quickly see what God is favoring, what God's visions are, and to be able to participate and engage in those visions. We're going to go ahead and take communion right now. Let's remember more the resurrection of Jesus. Let's remember his death, but let's remember right now a little bit more his resurrection. Because in that, there was something new now. There was a new activity of God. There was a new vision. There was a new commission. And because of that commission, men like Paul and his team struggled to reach those who did not know. And women like Lydia, that in her gratitude of discovering, of finding the complete message, participated in international missions. What is the new thing that God is doing? And how can you participate in it? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. It moves. It stirs our hearts. It opens our thoughts to new things. You, God, it's about you. Help us to know that. Help us to live that out. As we remember the death and more importantly the resurrection, we are convinced that you will complete the redemption of this creation of our lives, even our own faith. We're grateful that we get to participate in your international work locally and in other regions of the world. Help us to discover what you are doing. Because we want to participate in it. We too want to be a church, a family, an individual that's an international bridge, living out our lives in your story. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Greater Long Beach Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit greaterlongbeachchurch.com.